Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Today is Saturday.
Today is Saturday.
It has been a whirlwind.
It has been a whirlwind
literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm. In all the ways it could be.
So many ways it has been a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming to you live.
Big
emphasis on the wind, which we will get to in one moment. We are coming to you live from the Rocky Mountain National Park.
That's right.
We are here in Grand Lake.
But today we spent our day hiking through the Estes Park section of Rocky Mountain National Park.
Why don't we begin this episode by you telling us what you just did?
That was like the biggest, like, tell the class what you did, Jimmy.
Tell the class what you did, Jimmy.
Oh, and the class will know. Mm-hmm. Well, Dusty and I have had quite a day, as we mentioned, and I went to use the restroom before in our lovely Airbnb, and I needed to sit down, let's put it that way, when I used the restroom. And when I flushed the toilet, it did not flush automatically. And I panicked and didn't see a plunger in the space, so I flushed the toilet again, knowing full well that I had control of how to turn the water off because I am the son of a plumber. And the toilet bowl overflowed right into our room. It was clean water. Things had been distributed. But that became an ordeal at 9:30 at night when we are fully and totally exhausted.
That's right.
And now I feel like a big jackass, so
Listen, it happens to the best of
us. It
does. I do have some follow-up questions, though. One being, you didn't know that there was a plunger.
I didn't.
When the plunger was...
hidden.
No, it was inside... It was inside the cabinet underneath the sink. I mean, you can call it a vanity if you want, but it's not a vanity. It's a sink with a cabinet underneath it. The plunger is right in there because I'm going to tell you something my dad told me when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. He was like, Dusty, you listen to me. You never, ever want to get yourself into a situation where you are at someone's house and you take a shit on the commode and it starts to overflow and you don't know how to stop it.
Right.
You have to know how to stop it.
You have to be in control at all times.
You have to be in control at all times.
As you said to me, I never walk into a foreign bathroom without knowing where the plunger is.
I never do. When I walk into a bathroom at like a friend's house or like a new house I've never been into before, the first thing I take stock of is where they have placed the plunger.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's someone I trust well enough, then I don't see one, I will straight up ask. Like, where did you put your plunger? Just in case, you know, like it's something that we should not have shame about. No,
it
happens all the time. The other thing is, I was sitting in here.
Yes.
While it was
literally
happening.
Literally
3 feet away. And I hear this like splash of water and I just hear like, oh no. And then just like water starts pouring out from under the door.
Yes.
And so like, did you just stand there?
No,
like,
I turned the faucet. I turned the valve off.
Oh, you turned the valve off.
I turned the valve off. I know.
Okay,
how to turn
the
valve
off. Were proactive.
I was
in
proactive.
That moment.
I
you
was
didn't
like,
just stand there
right.
and doing nothing.
And, yeah. No, I just looked at it. I was like, oh, what a beautiful way to end the day.
I don't know how to do this. Darn. Here is another thing that sort of goes along with this event that just occurred in the restroom. is over the past 3 days, 2 days, we have experienced a very high volume of flatulence.
It's true.
Between the two of us.
Like, it's scary true.
It's so, like, we've talked about farting, like, often on the show. Like, but, like, the farting is so rampant. Like
and rancid.
And so rancid. I mean, it smells like a dead animal, like
crawled inside the both of us.
Crawled inside of both of us and, like, then decided to, like, eat other carcasses of its same kind of species and then waste away
right
into its own, like,
waste pile.
I mean, right. That is how bad right. It is.
Well, and here's the thing is that we have, like, comfortably been farting in front of each other for the longest part of our friendships.
I mean, absolutely.
And also, like, it's
this would not happen if we couldn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easily comfortable.
Yes.
But, like, it has been, what has been your phrase? Like, to warn me.
Oh, the phrase has been, because then Mike throws a little hissy if I fart and I don't warn him about it. As you've heard before in previous episodes, I was like, what can I say that is, like, super, like, suspenseful, but also, like, the most dramatic? So I just say, something has occurred.
Or something is about to occur.
Something is about to occur.
Right.
That's the code the for phraseology. Like, fart is coming.
Right.
The farts come in hot and fast.
But what did we learn about our extreme flatulence?
Okay. So we've been talking about this since we've been up here, is that, you know, everybody that I know of who has come to Colorado loves Colorado. I mean, Colorado is absolutely breathtaking.
We'll stop talking about bathroom stuff in a minute, folks.
We promise. But we were like, why is this happening? Like, we had talked about how, like, we had been totally fine with, like, oxygen levels and breathing, and, like, that really hadn't had any effect on us. When we're dealing with, in the car ride, because we had a long car ride today, like, this incessant gas, we were like, I finally was like, okay, like, does the altitude have something to do with this? Like, mm-hmm. Is there some kind of connection? And what did we find out?
We found that there is actually a condition called HAEF, high altitude flatulence expulsion.
Well, it's called high altitude flatus expulsion. Is, like, I guess actually the
is
action.
What a flautist does.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
They flatus.
But because of the pressure that it puts on your body, you produce more gas.
Right. So we were like, all right, science. We're just, like, living our normal lives over here.
And that's
making
that.
Our way downtown. Yes. Walking fast, faces past.
And we have gas.
And I'm fart bound.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
It is 6:20 in the morning, and we have been driving for, like, 35 minutes?
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe 40 minutes or so, because I'm a hard, evil person, and I make us get up early to do things.
You set an alarm, I didn't set an alarm, and my body naturally woke up at 4:30.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we're still riding the jet lag train a little bit, and we're still, like, living in our, you know, time zone, so that would make that, what, like, 6:30 at home?
Something like that, yeah. I at least got a full 8 hours of sleep last night.
And I got a, you know, hot, wet garbage pile of, like, maybe cobbled together 6 hours altogether.
Well, why is that?
Pure exhaustion.
Yeah. So we're here in the Rocky Mountains National Park right now, and we are staying in the Grand Lake area, which there's essentially like two main towns that are really close to hiking trails in the Rocky Mountain National Park. The one we're staying in, which is Grand Lake, and then...
And then Estes Park.
Estes Park is where we are driving to today. Now, here is what's cool, is that, like, Rocky Mountain National Park is... The park itself is not as, like, enormous as other parks, but it's sizable. And there's this little connecting road that, like, will take you from Grand Lake all the way to Estes Park.
It's called Trail Ridge Road. It's called Trail Ridge Road.
It's called Trail Ridge Road. And it's about 40 miles on that road to get to Estes Park. However, there is so much snow in the Rocky Mountains, particularly Rocky Mountain National Park. They basically wait until, like, the middle of May to essentially fully plow that road and clear that road so that people can use it. Because of that, you have to drive south all the way around and make like a giant U in order to get to Estes Park, and it takes 3 hours and 20 minutes from where we are. So we are on our way to Estes Park right now.
Yep, because I'm a hard, evil, cruel person.
But we wanted to get there by 9 a.m., so we had as much time as possible that we could find parking, hike early, hike often.
And because the visitor center is open at 9, or at least, even though it said it was open at 8 online, when we went to the visitor center in Grand Lake yesterday, which said it was open at 8, it didn't open until 9, so we just were like, let's not torture ourselves totally and get up at 4 and drive.
So Rocky Mountain National Park was established on January 26, 1915.
So she's an Aquarius.
She is. I always say that Aquariuses have this bird's eye view that other, like, people can't see as well. Like, an Aquarius will be able to, like, suss through a situation and go, like, oh, that's the problem, and here's why it became the problem. And I think that's really accurate for Rocky Mountain because it's so high in the air.
Yeah, that seems 100% accurate there.
Yeah. They have, like... They have 124 named peaks in the park, and 20 of those peaks are over 13,000 feet in elevation. And the tallest one is called Long's Peak, and it is at 14,259 feet.
The park itself is really kind of categorized, or can be categorized, into two sections that are connected by Trail Ridge Road. And Trail Ridge Road is one of the highest and most scenic drives in the United States, but those two sections are Estes Park and Grand Lake, which we both spent time in.
We're going to tell you a little bit about what we're seeing right now on this drive. The Rocky Mountains are, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, they are the grandest, like, string of mountains that are, they're mostly covered in snow right now. I mean, not completely, but, like, the peaks are all covered in snow. As we're driving through, there are these tiny little towns that have, you know, all the things a tiny little town needs. But I think Grand Lake is definitely a town centered on tourism, you know, for the park, the Rocky Mountain National Park. As we're driving, there are all these, like, beautiful homes that are just, like, lofted up onto these hills, like on the right and on the left. There's also cattle everywhere. There's just clearly, like, some thriving community.
There's also a lot of, like, it's very clear that everywhere that we're driving through is, while there is industry here and there are things that are bringing in business, it is completely driven by, like, winter tourism and just tourism to the parks. There are so many ski resorts that we passed when we were driving in the first night, and even as we're driving in now. And it just seems like it's, like, very resort heavy out here, which makes sense because it really is pretty incredible. And I can only imagine in the summer, it's got to be just so lush and beautiful.
And And so we continue our trek onto Estes Park. We have about 3 more hours to go.
And yeah, that drive was long.
Yeah, it did end up taking us through Boulder. We did have to make a stop at some point at a bathroom.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, which is like typical. We did see some terrible Comic Sans styled bears.
Oh my God. I can't. Okay, so there were these adorable little like wood carvings of like bears and animals that had signs that said like, wipe your paws here, right? But the font was in Comic Sans, and I'm sorry, that's just how you lose customers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. Colorado has been the most beautiful.
Yeah.
I would say one of the scarier places for driving, for me personally. The first night we were here, we had to drive to Grand Lake from the airport, and it was dark, and I didn't realize we were going to be, like, climbing elevation mountains, and that was a little treacherous for me, but like in the daylight, actually, it's been fine.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, the most breathtaking views right and left, literally everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. And driving through Boulder was neat too, because you're definitely like in areas of like sparser population for a little while on this drive. And like then you got to see Boulder and kind of see what like a bigger city was like, because we didn't really see Denver. We kind of went right to Beaver Creek Visitor Center.
We did. We pulled into Estes Park. Estes Park is like this adorable town. It's like pretty thriving. It is famous for having the Stanley Hotel, which is the hotel from The Shining, and also Dumb and Dumber.
Right, as we were corrected on the trail today.
We were.
Yeah.
So we go to the Beaver Creek Visitor Center, and you talk to the ranger.
Right. In our previous day of hiking, when we talked to the rangers at the Grand Lake Visitor Center, they had recommended a few hikes on the Estes Park side. But they're like, of course, stop and talk to the rangers at the Visitor Center there. And the hikes that were recommended to us were Gem Lake, Deer Mountain, and then also Bear Lake, if there was, you know, availability. So I talked to the ranger and I let him know that we had about 6 hours, and what did he think was best and what did he think was accessible.
We also had some listeners write in and recommend some things to do.
Yep.
And so we considered all of that too. Yep.
Yeah. Kelly from Drive Hike Repeat, thank you for your suggestion on Bear Lake. It was definitely one that we had tried to fit in there. It just didn't end up manifesting itself.
Not today.
Not today. So the ranger recommended that we definitely do Deer Mountain. And if there was time to try to go to Gem Lake, he had recommended some other things because he was a little uncertain that we'd be able to do both. So he had some other like points of interest that he had marked out for us. So, you know, we kind of reconnected because you definitely ogled some t-shirts for a little while I was talking to the ranger.
I did. They were fine.
Yeah. Was there anything to write
home
about?
I didn't ultimately buy any of them.
No, you didn't. I know. You save your t-shirts for like the one that's like the most special.
Absolutely, this most special. There is like this like t-shirt from the Smoky Mountains that has a bear on it. That, but the bear is
the bear
like,
says,
it's like
wipe
this,
your paws here in Comic Sans.
right. It's this outline of a bear that is sort of like the spirit of a bear, and it's created by all of these images of other animals.
That's right.
And
I do like
just
that shirt.
Obsessed with that shirt.
Yeah. So we reconnected and we got back in our little car and scooted away to the Deer Mountain Trailhead.
Okay, so we made it to Estes Park.
Right, and we were just at the Beaver Creek Visitor Center, and we had talked about a few hikes with the ranger there. We'd gotten some recommendations yesterday from our ranger down in Grand Lakes. She had mentioned Gem Lake, Deer Mountain, and also Bear Lake. So when I talked to the ranger this morning, I was like, we have 6 hours. What do you recommend? These are what were recommended to us. And he was like, definitely do Deer Mountain. It's a 6 mile, like there and back. And then, you know, you might have some time for Gem Lake. Bear Lake has 20 parking spots. So I don't know if
Good
you
luck.
Want to drive half hour to get there and then not be able to park. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But right now we are at the trailhead for Deer Mountain, and the view, even from here, is just spectacular. The sky is like the bluest ever. There's some beautiful stratus clouds in the sky, and then the mountain peaks in the distance are just full of, most of them are full of snow, but not all of them are.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
And it's time for a break. So this is a game we played all day today when we were hiking in the Rocky Mountain National Park, which is the vault. You pick a category and you're only allowed to put three things in the vault to be safe forever. Everything else will be destroyed and never remembered. But you are allowed to choose three things that will always be remembered. The stakes are very high.
Yes.
Start us off, Mike.
You have to put in three classic Disney films into the vault. And when I say classic, I mean pre like CGI animation.
Of course. All right. So I can include animated and live action?
Sure. You can do live action. That's fine.
Okay, great. Yeah. I am going to put in, first and foremost, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. We've talked about that movie before.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, I'm obsessed. Second, the original Parent Trap starring Hayley Mills, because there is not a bigger Hayley Mills fan in the world than this queer sitting right here. And then finally, Sleeping Beauty, because
that's a good choice.
The world cannot forget Maleficent.
No.
Also, that's how you say
that's
it.
That's right.
The incorrect way. I wasn't invited to the
right.
party. Right.
Mm-hmm. Spiteful.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with
her. Also the red and green and blue fairies.
Oh, right, exactly.
Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
There was, once upon a time, this like idea Disney had to do a whole theme park in Orlando called Villains.
Oh.
And it was a world like where the villains all lived.
Oh.
Did you never know this?
No, that is
fascinating. This isn't like the most deep cut Disney insider knowledge, but like it's gotten like this resurgence on the internet as of late. And I'm like, please God, make this happen.
Oh, that'd
like,
be great.
Make like the centerpiece would be Maleficent's castle.
Maleficent's castle.
The whole plan.
That's awesome.
But I mean, they have so much to choose from. And oh my God, I would love it.
Wow. Yeah. Give us our dark, tortured souls.
And what about you? What would be the three Disney films you would put in the vault?
Well, just like informed a lot of what I was going to say. But because they were things I definitely forgot about. But Sword in the Stone is like the highest on my list.
Oh.
Along with Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And I want to say Sleeping Beauty too, only because the artwork, the background artwork in Sleeping Beauty is the most fantastic.
Unbelievable. Right. It is the it is untouched.
Right. Yeah. 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 So that's what I'm doing too. Aladdin was a close contender because I love all the songs from Aladdin.
And I almost said The Lion King because I just, the references to Hamlet, the, you know, the African music, like I'm obsessed, you know.
Yeah.
So the beginning of this trail, the Deer Mountain Trail, was a little foresty and there was no snow.
Right. Yeah, I remember getting out of the car and just kind of being really inspired by everything that we were seeing around us. Like it was very awe-inspiring.
Because it was like view immediately. And then
from like almost all sides,
the trail was, you were headed up the side of the mountain. It was over a valley and you could see all of the surrounding mountains.
Yeah.
And the beginning of this trail was a little uphill.
Yeah.
And then it was flat for a little while. And then it started to change to uphill again.
Yeah. So we hit a lot of switchbacks pretty immediately. We kind of were in like open field, but like field that was sloped on the side of the mountain that became like switchbacky and then kind of wound us up into that forest level.
Right. Literally like every time you turn around, the view just gets grander and grander. So we've been hiking about how long? 30 minutes?
25, 30 minutes, yeah.
Up this Deer Mountain Trail. And what are we seeing?
Just sweeping mountainous landscape. Like, it's really kind of too amazing to almost seem real.
Yes. Like, so many times I've just stopped and taken it in to go, like, just take it in and let it sink through you. I mean, because it's just that incredible. And it's all over. It's on every side of you.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we've taken probably the same mountain photo so many different times because we're just seeing it from a different location and it's just continuing to change.
And the sky is so blue and these clouds are like feathered through the sky perfectly. And the trees are sweeping up and down the landscape. So you have a rich forest green that is complementing everything. It's like, I can't believe this is a real place.
So we continue up the mountain. We just are hitting switchback after switchback. This hike was about 1,000-foot elevation gain, but it was done in such a way that you really didn't feel it.
Like, I mean, you felt
it. You felt it, but it was so gradual. So it was really nice. But, you know, we're turning and eventually we start to wind ourselves into like a much more wooded area. And it's very clear that this is an area that isn't getting a lot of sun because we encounter snow.
We do. And in episodes that are forthcoming, you will hear all about the snow adventures we had yesterday on the Grand Lake side of the Rocky Mountain National Park. But today, the snow was maybe like 6 inches of snow on the ground.
Maybe.
And it was pretty packed. And like, it wasn't everywhere.
Yeah, but it was sparse.
It was sparse. And so while we were hiking on the snow, we ran into these other two hikers named Mark and Tim. And they were lovely. And we started talking to them. They made some small talk with us about, you know, our first time on the trail or not, if we'd done it before, if it was our first time in the park. And we started to chat some about that. And then Mark told us that he was a teacher and they were up just to hike this trail today.
Yeah, they were from Denver. You know, we got to talking to about just the ins and outs of teaching in like a very brief conversation. And just like we talked a little bit about that woman who was in the Denver area that was like very obsessed with, you know, the Columbine massacre and how the schools had been closed. Were you not a part of this conversation with me?
No.
No. So he had talked about that and just like everything that that kind of brought back. And, you know, he was really interested as like an art teacher and a theater teacher, how we made classrooms safe spaces. So we really got into kind of like an in-depth conversation for like
really quickly.
Very quickly.
And it was great.
And it was very like easy. It was super easy.
And as with most times when you run into people on the trail and you start chatting with them, like you walk for a while and you're chatting and then eventually at some point either someone walks ahead of you or you walk ahead of that. It's just sort of like there's some sort of natural kind of parting of ways that happens, which did happen with us.
Yeah.
And but it was really lovely to chat with them. As we kept making our way up, the snow was still there.
Yeah, it was really clear that we weren't going to not see snow for the rest of the way. It was like we were going to just be hiking on top of snow.
Okay, so now we've been hiking for about
45 minutes.
And still, the view is just, you can't beat it.
Yeah, we also did the thing that we always do, and we're like, let's layer up. And then like 45 minutes in, it's like you're just a giant box of sweat.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm a huge sweat box right now.
So we just like delayered a little bit.
Yeah, and so there's some switchbacks on here, but we're taken it slow. We are not in snowshoes today.
No. That's a beautiful thing.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Because you know what? I'm not here for snowshoeing.
No. May the Lord open.
May the Lord open. Yeah, there's a little bit of snow on this trail, but it's like so minimal that there's no need for any snowshoes. But it's like, I'm going to stop talking for a second. I want you to listen to this. It's just like the most beautiful silence, mm-hmm. most peaceful.
So we continue our way up to the top of Deer Mountain Trail. And as we're walking, yeah, I mean, the snow is still there. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. It's melting away. But generally speaking, it's a warmer day. And it feels really good as we were traveling up.
Yeah, it was kind of cloudy, like, to start. And we weren't really sure what to expect. So when we rented snowshoes our first day in Rocky Mountain on the Grand Lake side, you know, the ranger was like, you might need snowshoes over there. I would just rent them for a second day. So we took them. And when we talked to the ranger at the visitor center in Beaver Creek, he was like, no, you shouldn't need them. But if you do, come back and tell me. And it really was just like walking on packed snow. It was a little slippery here and there.
Totally. And I'm glad I had my hiking poles.
Yeah. You utilized those more than I did.
Yes. You didn't take yours out at all.
I know. Well, I know. I think I'm going to feel pride. That tomorrow. It wasn't pride.
I think it was pride.
It wasn't pride.
Listen, mm-hmm. my knees are thanking me for those hiking poles.
Right I know now. They are.
So
yeah.
I'm going to use them like all the time.
Yeah.
The incline is gradual and the switchbacks aren't too steep.
No.
They're there. You got to do them, but there are all these little offshoots on the trail where you can just like stand at the edge and just like
they're
take
overlooks.
In this like bask view of just like the most breathtaking view you have ever seen of anything. And these mountains in the distance that are like covered in snow at the top and like the sweeping green trees that are covering the valleys below. Like it is, I mean, it's a place that left me speechless.
Right. There were definitely a lot of little pull-offs that we totally took advantage of.
And a lot of dead trees.
And a lot of dead trees for me to just, you know, bask in the glory of. But of course I was, you know, a little ahead of Dusty because this is just what I do.
And how it works.
And how it works. Eye roll. Cue. But as we're walking, we're getting closer and closer to the top. And all of a sudden there are Tim and Mark again.
Yeah. We see Tim and Mark again. Yeah. And it was cool to run into them again. And then we had kind of flattened out up at the top. And we were like, we must be getting to the summit here because the summit's got to be around here.
Yeah. And after a little while, like we just were like, oh, we're just walking with Tim and Mark. So we were just hiking along with them and kind of chatting along the entire way too.
Right.
And then we kind of hit that summit and then...
Basically, no. We didn't hit the summit.
No.
We
sorry.
We hit the flat top. Top near where the summit would be.
Or should be. Right.
But as we were walking, we noticed, because basically at this point in time, you are you are following the footsteps that are packed in the snow.
Right.
Like that's how you know where the trail is. Because there is no signage for any of the trails on Rocky Mountain National Park, except at the very, very beginning. And sometimes when you like make it to the top.
Right. Or make it to your destination point.
Right.
Yeah.
And on this trail in particular, there were no blazes.
Right.
There
or Karens
or
to
Karens,
be seen.
Anything. There was one Karen that you were like, well, I think that's a Karen. And I was like, well, there's only one. And I think somebody made that.
I think Karens are probably harder in this park only because of the snow. So I'm sure that blazes are probably what they typically are using. But then again,
on this trail, girl.
But then again, we hiked later and there weren't blazes there either.
No.
So I think it's a lot of just like being situationally aware of what people have done before you. But we came to this kind of vast, open, flat top and we lost the thread.
We absolutely. There was
no footprints.
No footprints. I have no idea where like we were headed. And the All Trails app had said recently that like, a couple of days ago that like it was hard to find out where to go at the top of that trail.
Yeah.
That is what another hiker told us on
our descent.
Had run into.
Yeah.
So we're there with Tim and Mark and all four of us are like,
What do we do? Wandering aimlessly is not something either of you or I were interested in doing.
No. And it was hard because we had heard voices.
Because that is not safe.
And it was hard because we had heard voices like a little bit like further. And we had actually seen some hikers that were kind of like walking back our way. And they were hikers that were a little ahead of us on the trail at the beginning. And we called to them, hey, did you find the summit? And they're like, no, we totally are lost right now. So they started to walk back towards us as well.
And so at that point, we were like, you know what? This isn't worth it. Like, I mean, we have essentially made it up here to the top. Yeah. I guess we just like turn around and we head back down. So we turn around and we start to head the other way. And then we run into another hiker. And she asked us, like, oh, were you headed up? And we were like, yeah, we were, but we lost the trail. We have no idea where it is. And she was like, oh, yeah, well, I've done it before.
In the summer.
In the summer. And you're supposed to make it up to, like, this, like, bald area with, you know, like, rocks and that you can stand on and take, like, the aerial view in on all sides.
And it's apparently an incredible aerial view, too.
Right, apparently. And yeah. So we were like, but we can't find it. But apparently she had read that the All Trails app had also said that there had been other, like, people had made kind of pseudo other trails,
right,
and footprints in snow, like, leading elsewhere. And she was like, okay, well, if you guys can't find it, then I guess I'll just turn around and walk back with you.
Yeah.
And so she joined us, and that was Selena. Mm-hmm. And so now we had a group of five of us headed back down the trail.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
Welcome to Drag Queen Corner, and this week's drag queen comes from listener Jessica, who wrote in and gave us this one, which is, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage,
Miss Desiree Canyon.
Desiree Canyon, a reference to Desert Canyon, mm-hmm. but yes, Desiree Canyon. Mm-hmm. Who is Desiree Canyon, Mike?
Who is Desiree Canyon? Well, we know one thing for sure. She's hotter in the canyon than she is at the rim. So I feel like she has some sort of outfit that is very like flashy at the bottom and it just is transformative as it rises, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Like a little Katniss Everdeen girl on fire.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I sort of see Desiree Canyon as like a, like she is the like the cactus flower.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
like
that's transformative at the top too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like yeah. A cactus births a flower mm-hmm. and like it's like, you know, all those beautiful colors. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is where like she gets mm-hmm. like she is that flower.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do feel like she is like a 60s lounge singer. Like that name, oh, totally. Desiree Canyon is
like she sounds like Adele when mm-hmm. she sings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely has that like star quality too.
Oh, totally. Like,
people flock to Desiree Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to hike all over her.
Exactly.
Right.
She's the, as Jessica said in her suggestion, she's a cactus queen.
She is a cactus
queen.
But
yes, I think she has...
So she's beautiful, but sharp.
So her wit is so sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, will sting you.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, that goes.
And stick to you for a long time.
And right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's prickly.
She's prickly.
That's a great way to put it.
There you go.
She's prickly. Right. And I do feel like she has... I don't think that every one of her outfits is like, you know, a reference to
cacti
or, you know, the Southwest or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that she iconically has some kind of reference to the Southwest.
Okay.
That is just like elevated in this way that is just magnificent and elegant and very pageant. I mean, she is the flower growing out of the cactus. What do you think her iconic lip sync would be?
Oh, God, that's a good question.
Would it be a Desert Rose by Sting? I mean, that's a little on the nose.
Mm, it is a little on the nose.
Yeah, so no.
See,
okay, I think she gets her inspiration from Dusty Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
No lie. When people meet me and I tell them my name is Dusty, and they go like, oh, like Dusty Springfield, my gut response is always like, oh, so you're gay too.
Right.
Anyway, no, but I feel like Desiree Canyon's iconic lip sync song is Son of a Preacher Man.
Oh, yeah, I
love
it.
Because, I mean, it's just like that raw, guttural mm-hmm. sort of
yeah.
The look was
moment.
In his eye.
Right, right. Kissing, she's a storyteller.
Stealing kisses from me on the sly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage, Miss
Desiree Canyon.
So, we had determined that we were lost, essentially. I mean, not like we knew how to get back to where we were, but we had lost the trail. Mm-hmm. And that there was no way to get to the summit because we couldn't see the way.
Right.
And but Selena told us that there were like stairs, like rock formed stairs
mm-hmm.
that we were supposed to see, but we never saw them.
No. And she was super apologetic. She was like, I'm really sorry that you guys can't see the top. And, you know, there is like, it's definitely there. She's like, I've done it before. I'm just really sorry that this has to be your end. And, you know, we've kind of come to live in the mantra of no FOMO when it comes
right.
to stuff like that. We had an experience the day earlier that we definitely also needed to do a similar, like, oh, we can't find the trail. Bye.
Right,
turn around.
Exactly.
So we just like all five of us just start our hike down. And it was kind of really cool because we were hiking with three other locals. So we really got a sense for their thoughts on a lot of things.
Because we had heard from a lot of different people and we asked them what their favorite trails were.
Mm-hmm.
We also got a sort of sense of what it is like to live in Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely like a little bit like of like what the cost of living is like, just all sorts of things. They talked a lot about like they
the
couldn't
political
believe,
landscape.
Yeah. Political
of Colorado.
Landscape. They were also like completely amazed that the two of us were like not feeling any effects of altitude sickness
oh my God,
at all.
Right. They were like,
but they didn't
people,
know about our HAFE.
Right. They did not know about our HAFE. Selena was saying that people would come and visit her and they're like, oh my God, I can't breathe. I can only stay here, you know, for so long. And because she would say, you know, if they wanted to go out on hikes, she would make them stay at her house
right,
for
to acclimate
like
a
day
a little
or
bit.
Two to acclimate. And then they would go out on a
yeah.
hike to climb up some. And she did say that all hiking in Colorado is like going up.
She said every day is leg day in Colorado.
Every day is leg day in yeah. Colorado.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah, that was good.
And I found out there were so many products that were created in Colorado.
Like OtterBox
and then the Pop Socket, both
yeah.
of things I have on my phone
yeah.
and I did not realize.
Yeah, but we also got a chance to talk. Like, I feel like just as a group, we kind of just exchanged like little stories here and there. I feel like Mark really had some deep thoughts and like was so, again, easy to talk to. Like, you definitely were deep in conversation with him for a lot of the track
oh,
down.
Oh, I was, yeah.
And I got to jump in a little bit here and there. And he was like really curious about like what it was like to be a teacher where I was, because he was also a middle school teacher. He taught science, or he teaches science, I should say. So he was just like, oh, so what is it like with parents, like where you are? Like, how are your kids? And like, what's the climate there, like as far as education goes? So it's always kind of nice to talk shop a little bit.
Going down was like easy because it was all downhill. Mm-hmm. Still glad I had my hiking poles.
Yeah.
Because it was like a little rocky in spots as it was when we went up. But I felt like we like flew down.
Which is mostly the trail. Case. I think like in total from top to bottom, it was like a 3-hour tour. Like literally it took us 3 hours to get to the top, air quotes, and then make our way down, was about 3 hours in total, which was, I thought, pretty good. It was a 6-mile round trek. We probably did close to that just because we meandered around at the top, but didn't really hit that summit point. It was pretty good as far as a trail goes. I know it's one of your contenders for your favorites.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's up there for me, but it's not doing what I needed to do to beat Devil's Garden.
Okay, so while we were out today in Rocky Mountain National Park, I do feel like we made more comparisons to the trails we were on than we ever have before to like other trails in other parks. But I felt like this trail today was fairly similar to like a Mount Camerer or a Mont
LeConte. Yeah.
Trail in Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, you would say
like
that.
It's like an easy, gradual uphill, not too bad. You can take, like, if you're a trail runner, I imagine you could like shoot right up that and come right back down.
Yeah.
Or it can be a leisurely stroll.
Yeah.
You can go as fast as you want. And it's, you know, but it's so worth all of it.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a wonderful trail. And even these folks that we were with for most of the trail, or at least our entire descent, were like, this is a great trail. We love it.
And the views are unmatched.
Not to be missed.
So let's put her on the Karen Stone scale.
I don't really think that she was difficult, but she was confusing at points. I do feel like we did have to work a little too. So I'm going to give her a 6.
I was literally going to say that too.
Yeah.
So she gets a 12 in the Karen Stone.
Yeah,
she gets 12 Karen Stones.
Yeah, 12 out of 20.
So she, only because like, it's incline.
Yeah.
It is incline.
Yeah.
Incline is not too bad.
No.
Like we have certainly done worse.
Yes.
There is worse incline out there, but this one isn't the worst,
no.
But you just have to be aware that you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Following the trail was the hardest part.
But mostly just towards the top. And that's what I feel like kind of what I've experienced, or what we experienced in our hikes at Rocky Mountain. It's like I was saying before, like situational awareness and seeing like, oh, is this actually a carved trail? Does it look like it's worn ground? Or now, because we're in snow, does it look like there are footprints here? But then again, sometimes it's just like a little signage would be helpful. Like when we hit the top of that flat part, to just be like, trail is this way. And then
or
to have
summit
something.
Is this way. Smoky Mountain National Park was always good with the signage.
Yeah.
I have found most national parks have been.
Yeah.
This is the first one where I'm like, girl, you need to get it together.
And you're a big park too.
And you're a big girl.
Yeah.
You know how to, you know, you should do signage better. Yeah. I mean, I understand that the resources and to make those signs are all finite, and we have other things that we need to protect and preserve and do other than make signs. But I do think signs would be helpful. And now let's play some Jeopardy.
Great.
All right, Mike. Start us off with your Jeopardy this evening.
Okay. Well, my Jeopardy is inspired by our hafe that we have been having. So my Jeopardy is in reference to William Shakespeare, A Rose by Any Other Name. It is a fart by any other name. I'm going to be giving you a clue, and you're going to need to give me the euphemism for what a fart is.
Okay. I'm ready for this. I'm so here for it.
This term for farting is also the sound that a car horn might make.
Honking?
I'll take honking.
What is
tooting
honking?
Is what I was looking
tooting.
For.
What is tooting? Toot toot.
Toot toot. A fart by any other name for 200. This euphemism for passing gas may not only relate to what will happen if you ingest items of a charcuterie plate, but also describes the action of making said charcuterie plate.
What is cutting the cheese?
That is correct. A fart by any other name for 300. This alliterative term for farting includes the medically correct name for your anus and the sound it would make, like a fire truck, if there was a 5-alarm butt baby in your colon.
Oh, I don't know.
What is a sphincter siren?
Is that the medically correct term?
I mean, it's part of your anus, yes. I wanted to use it.
Sphincter siren?
Yeah, did you make that up yourself? Siren. No, I looked up terms for farting.
Jesus. Okay. All right. Wow. Okay.
All right. A fart by any other name for 400. If you were hunting for mallards, this euphemism for farting would really help your cause.
What is duck called?
That's correct.
That's a term for farting?
Yes,
apparently. I didn't even know this. I'm, okay. Yeah. Great. And, I mean, if you have, I had a duck call thing when I was little, and it does sound like a fart.
It does sound like a fart. Okay.
Great.
A fart by any other name for 500. This euphemism for farting may conjure up an image of Stuart Little riding a Harley Davidson down the street.
A rat on a bike?
You're so close.
What is that?
What is a mouse on a motorcycle?
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Did anyone in your family ever give the excuse, like, I have to go see a man about a dog?
No.
Which was the, like, code for I have to go, like, take a shit?
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
My grandmother used to use it all the time. And I was like, but I love dogs and I want to come see
them.
She's
like, you can't come.
You can't come see this dog. Seriously. So the title of this category is called Colorado Products Colored Red for Filth.
Okay.
The way I got that title is this. So Colorado derives its name from what in Spanish means to be colored red.
Which is why the license plates were red.
Some of them.
Yes, some of them. Figuring that out.
It was applied to describe the Colorado River because of the red sandstone that lined it in certain parts. But there are also a lot of products that originated in Colorado.
Okay.
So I am like gay reading these products.
Gotcha.
And you have to guess the product based on the read.
Gotcha.
So a reading and shade are two terms that are both like the art of the insult. Shade is like if I were to indirectly insult somebody, like it's like throwing shade over them, like their light, like that they can't, you know, beam light. So like, for instance, like if Mike were to be like, yeah, we have so much to do. And I were to say something like, right, including cleaning up the carpet from all of the water that was dripped there from, you know, the toilet earlier. That's shade. But if I look at Mike and say like, don't look at me with that outfit that you're wearing right now, that's a read because I'm like doing it directly at him. So here we go. Colored red for filth for 100. I know that people call you comfortable, and I know you come in every color imaginable, but that doesn't make you acceptable footwear any season, especially with shorts.
What are Crocs?
Correct. 200. Let me spell it out for you. You aren't Chipotle, you ain't ever been Chipotle, and you ain't even gonna ever be Chipotle, so you might as well come to terms with that now.
What is Qdoba?
Correct. Qdoba and Chipotle both originated in Colorado, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think Qdoba was like way before Chipotle, though, yes?
I don't exactly know where they fall in the timeline.
Okay.
But Chipotle has jumped over.
Oh, yes. It has eclipsed it.
It has eclipsed.
It's thrown all the shade.
It has.
Yeah.
Okay. Colored red for filth for 300. We get it. You are like the way older way to send money. But if my friend needs some cash now, I'll just Venmo, PayPal, or whatever them. So it saves me from having to go to the 7-Eleven, fill out a bunch of paperwork, and pay a fine. So no thank you.
What is Western Union?
Correct. Okay. Colored red for filth for 400. I see you over there thinking that everybody loves you and thinking that you're delicious. But the truth is that no one ever thinks of you outside of October 31st. And while there are shots named after your flavors and people argue about which flavor is the best, you are a cavity waiting to happen in a yellow and clear wrapper.
Oh. What is candy corn?
Incorrect. Okay. What is the Jolly Rancher?
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha.
And finally, last one. Colored red for filth for 500. Girl, you are done. Seriously, you are over. I don't care that Italian immigrants adopted you as a day to celebrate their heritage. Your namesake was a racist, rapist slave owner who was credited for sailing across the seas and doing something that other people had already done. So, goodbye. You've been replaced.
What is Columbus Day?
Correct. Now, let me explain.
Okay.
Columbus Day, technically, like the idea of it started in San Francisco in like the mid-1800s.
Okay.
But Colorado was the first state
to
celebrate it as a state.
Interesting.
Right. But goodbye, Columbus Day.
Goodbye, Columbus Day.
We don't need you anymore.
We don't need you anymore. First People's Day, hello.
Yes, Indigenous People's Day. Yeah. I feel like Colorado would be like the first in line to like adopt Indigenous People's Day.
Let's adopt it.
Let's do it. All right, Colorado, we're looking at you. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to fart early and fart often.
And that flatulence is always out there. Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. And email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard. While hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park, we would also like to acknowledge that we were on the traditional lands of the Ute, Comanche, Arapaho, and Cheyenne Indian tribes.